We've been talking about for a number of weeks now, and I think we're nearing the conclusion of this particular series. And we're calling it now Foundational Principles of Increase. And if you weren't with us in the beginning of this, go online, look under the word supply, and all the previous messages are there. It's been a little bit of a journey for us. We got some further direction part of the way into it, and I'm really thankful for how it's gone. I'm seeing things better and stronger than I have before, and I believe others are too. Others like you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, has been our text. 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, he said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Verse 7, so then neither he that plants anything or he that waters, but God that gives the increase. God is a God of increase, not the God of staying the same, and he's not the God of decrease. And his will is always increase in every good thing. Do you believe that?
Yes.
If it's good, the Lord wants you to have it.
Yes.
And if you have some, he wants you to have some more.
Hmm?
Yes. That's him. The God of
increase.
And what, as we've gotten into the series, the Lord redirected us some in talking about that increase, there's more to increase than giving.
Yes.
And there's more to prospering than money.
Yes.
Go ahead, say that out loud. There's more to increase than giving. Do you know what I mean by that? To hear some people talk, you would think that's all there is. Give, and you're going to increase. But the truth is, it's possible to give and not increase. Now, if you follow through with what the Lord said to do, well, certainly his word comes to pass in your life. But there's more than one thing to consider when you're talking about the whole subject of increase. There's more to it than giving. And then also, there's more to prospering than money.
Yes.
Hmm?
That's right. Yeah.
Being prosperous is not when you reached a dollar amount.
Yes, sir.
And you can say, well, now I'm prosperous. Because you could actually have a lot of money and not be prosperous.
Yes, that's right.
Hmm? The blessing of the Lord, that makes you rich.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the blessing is empowerment and enablement. He gives us the power to get wealth, the Bible said, Deuteronomy 8:18. And he also gives us the power to enjoy things.
Yes.
I mean, if you got all kind of stuff and money, but you can't enjoy it, what good is that?
Exactly.
So the power to be able to use it well, the power to be able to enjoy it well, that's the blessing of the Lord.
Yes.
That's prospering. That's what he said in 3 John 2. I desire that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. If you're not prospering on the inside, the outside stuff won't be enough. And then we've talked about principles of, you know, what's required of us for God to increase us. And we've emphasized three of the big ones, I believe. And the first one was
honor.
The Lord said, those that honor me, I will honor. And if you study the scriptures, you'll find honor includes the idea of monetary, financial, and material things, as well as a whole other realm of stuff. And then secondly, worship. The scripture says that covetousness is idolatry. And when the enemy, you know, tried to tempt Jesus and with all the kingdoms of the world and said, if you'll fall down and worship me, all this will be yours. Well, the Lord wouldn't do it, though. He said, it's written, you worship the Lord your God, and him only do you worship. In order for the Lord to add money and things and favor and promotion and all this kind of thing to you, increase, it cannot mean more to you than him. Because he couldn't add it to you, because if it means more to you than him, he'd be helping you to get something that takes you away from him. That wouldn't be benefiting you in the long run. So you have to die to desires that are too much. And I changed my vocabulary years ago that I don't love things. I love God. I love people. I can enjoy things. I can use things. But I don't love houses, cars, clothes, money. Too strong a word. Y'all with me? I love God. I love his people. Hallelujah. I love his word.
Yes.
I love his Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But I don't love my car.
No.
Huh? Or my motorcycle. I can enjoy it.
Yes.
Help do my civic duty. Blowing leaves off the road. Especially in the fall, you know, a lot of leaves on the road. And you need a big, powerful motorcycle that can blow them off. That's another message. But go with me to Isaiah 1, and let's continue talking about this third foundational principle of increase. What is it? Obedience. Obedience. In Isaiah, and the first chapter, verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Like we've said in previous messages, there's a play on the word devour or consume in 19 and 20. It can be translated, if you're willing and obedient, you'll consume the good of the land. But then verse 20, but if you are rebellious and you won't listen, you'll be consumed. Yeah. So will you have the same whether you obey or not? Not according to the Lord. And does everybody that's alive deserve a good, prosperous life? Not according to the Lord. Just because you exist, that doesn't mean a good life is owed to you. There is a Creator. You owe Him obedience. You owe Him faith. Is that right? He gives you your very breath, your very existence, your very awareness. And sadly, most of the planet has rebelled against him. Most of the planet either denies his existence outright or even worshiping other false gods. Either way, they're in full-blown rebellion against the one that made them, created them, the one that gives them their breath. And that's one of the saddest things there is. You and I can't control all that. But we can make our decision. Right? And we can be a witness that it pays to obey. What do you think? We can be a witness that it pays. It pays off in multiple, many, many ways. Like we said, there's more to increase than giving. There's more than prospering, more to prospering than money. But God's will is that if we follow Him fully, He's able to increase us in every good thing, including joy, peace, hallelujah, fruitfulness, being useful, hallelujah, being a benefit to other folks and to the kingdom. I mean, the list goes on and on, but it pays to serve God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It does. It pays to serve God. He said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Job 36:11 says, if they obey and serve Him, they'll spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they'll perish by the sword and die without knowledge. Do you get a different outcome if you don't obey than if you do? See, we're talking about increase. Are you going to increase the same if you never seek God, you never try to find out what He wants you to do, and if you do find out, you won't do it? Are you going to increase the same as if you had obeyed? No, you're not. And, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on grace nowadays. And there should be emphasis on grace. But some people, you know, anytime you talk about having to do anything to experience the fullness of God's blessing, people say, oh, no, that's works. That's works. We don't have to do anything because Jesus did everything. Well, that's an oversimplification, and it leaves the wrong impression. We don't have to do works now to qualify. Jesus has qualified us. Hallelujah. Or to try to be righteous. Or to try to earn anything from God. Certainly not. That has been accomplished in what Jesus has done. But if you're not obedient, you won't be on the track where the provision is. It's about being in position to receive. Not about qualifying or earning or deserving something. It's not that God has said, well, as soon as you get good enough, we'll bless you some more. No. It's the Lord's righteousness that's now ours. But if you won't listen to Him, you won't be under the spout when the blessing pours out. You'll be somewhere else where it's dry. Huh? And you can say, well, God, what's wrong? Why won't you bless me? He did bless you. But it's over here. And you're over there. Huh? And it's because you had your own idea and your own plan. It's not about qualifying. It's about being in position to receive. Everybody say, position to receive. And you know what's required for that? You got to pray. Every day. And seek God. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He'll direct your paths if you'll follow and obey. And if you will, you'll eat the good of the land. Can you say amen? Is that increase? Go with me, if you would, over to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God and for the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Lord. I wouldn't have anything to preach without the Word of God. Without the Holy Spirit, wouldn't be able to preach it if I had it. You wouldn't be able either, right, to get it or do it. Or thank you, Father. But He has given us all we need. The Lord, in calling Israel out of Egypt, called them to increase. Called them to abundance. I mean great abundance. That was His plan. That was His will. Listen, Deuteronomy 8:6. Notice how it starts out? Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, walk in His ways, show Him respect, fear Him, for the Lord God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. Friend, this is tremendous because a lot of the areas around there were arid, desert. Still are. And keep going. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive, and honey. A land where you will eat bread without scarceness. That used to be the will of God. When did He change? Huh? A land where you will eat bread without scarceness. You shall not lack anything in it. No scarceness. No lack. That's abundance. That's prospering. Isn't it? That's prospering. And He said, when you have eaten and you're full, then you bless the Lord your God for the good land that He's given you. Beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping His commandments, His judgments and statutes that I command you this day. Sometimes people say, well, we don't have any commandments today. You need to read again. There's a commandment to love. Huh? And that one covers all the rest. There's a commandment to believe. How many understand walking in faith and walking in love will keep you occupied? Huh? And it's not a suggestion. It is a command. So the principle's the same. Verse 18, He said, remember the Lord your God. It's He that gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Look in Deuteronomy 6. Let's back up a little bit. Deuteronomy 6:10, He's describing to them what He has planned for them, what He has actually prepared for them, and what He has called them to. He said, it'll be when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities, which you didn't build. It takes a while to build a city. And a lot of money. Right? Time, effort, construction. And to get to skip all of that and just move in to a city already built? Huh? You don't have the streets closed for construction? Built? Finished? You don't have all the noise of the jackhammers and, huh? All that stuff? Built out. Finished. Well, who built it and finished it? The wicked? Hmm? This is how the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Yes. Is that they labored and it was their God. And they rejected God and wouldn't listen to God. But they got it done just in time to hand it off to people that respect God. He's done that numerous times before. And he said, goodly cities which you built not. Verse 11. And houses full of all good things that you didn't fill. Beautiful furniture. Just get your underwear and move in. Don't even need the moving truck. Now, is this fantasy?
No.
This is God.
Yes.
This was his will.
Yes.
When did he change?
Yes.
Wells digged that you didn't dig. Vineyards and olive trees you didn't plant. Well, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
When you've eaten and you're full, beware that you forget the Lord your God. Go to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, verse 8. Therefore you'll keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Does that sound like obeying? That you may be strong. Go in and possess the land, whether you go to possess it. That you may prolong your days in the land, which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and their seed. A land that flows with milk and honey. For the land where you go in to possess it, it's not like the land of Egypt that you just came out of. You sow your seed and water it with your foot as a garden of herbs. They had to irrigate everything over there. God said, no, I got you covered on that. I'm going to rain on it. The land where you go to possess it, it's a land of hills and valleys. It drinks water from the rain of heaven. This is the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Not through hard labor, but through the Lord sending it from heaven. A land which the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it. From the beginning of the year, even to the end of the year, God's watching over it. You're not too dry. You're not too wet. And it'll come to pass if you'll hearken diligently to my commands that I command you this day. Why does he keep bringing that up? Because if you'll do it, you're going to enjoy some things. And you'll get to eat and consume the good of the land. But if you don't, you can forget about this. That's what he's saying. To love the Lord your God, serve him with all your heart and all your soul. I'll give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain. You know, the first one gets the crop started, the last one finishes it up. That you may gather in your corn, your wine, your oil. I'll send grass in your fields for your cows, that you may eat and be full. This is the will of God. I said, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. And you got to think about what God is calling them to. He's calling people who were multi-generational slaves. They didn't own the rags on their back. They were property of the Egyptians. They were abused. They were malnourished, maltreated. They were regularly beaten. And to go from that, having nothing, not even your own freedom, to having a house full of nice things, having a vineyard, having an orchard, a landowner, hallelujah, a ranch owner, a plantation owner, hallelujah, and your mama and your daddy and your grandparents and their grandparents were slaves. And that's what you were to start out with. Is that increase?
Yes.
That, my brother, sister, is increase.
Yes.
Huh? Bringing you from that to this?
Yes.
Wells you didn't dig, orchards you didn't plant, houses you didn't build.
Thank you.
That is increase. And none of that first generation ever enjoyed it. Except Joshua and Caleb. Why? Not because God changed his mind. What did he keep telling them? If you listen to me, if you'll do what I tell you, follow my instructions. And they did not. They would not. And so even though it was God's will, it was God's plan, you talk about increase. They did not enjoy it. They died young. They died wrong. Out in a bleak, dry, barren desert, going around in circles for 40 years. Not the will of God. Not the plan of God. Look in Joshua 5. Joshua 5 and 6. The children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. That is way, way too long. To wander around in circles in a bleak, you know, you think it hot gets hot in Branson sometimes. This is the desert. And you freeze at nighttime. Burn up in the day. Always concerned about starving from thirst. All of that. None of that was the will of God. None of that was the plan of God. They walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war that came out of Egypt were what? Were what? Consumed. If you be willing and obedient, you'll consume the good of the land. Wells you didn't dig. Houses you didn't build. Is that right? You'll be able to consume and enjoy. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be consumed. They didn't consume. They were consumed. Why? Everybody help me out. Why? Why? Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. They wouldn't do what he told them to do. Unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show the land, that he gave us the land that flowed with milk and honey. We talked about the rich young ruler. He came so excited, fell down before Jesus. What can I do to inherit eternal life? And after a brief conversation, the Lord said, liquidate what you have. Give it to the poor. Come follow me. Take up your cross. Follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven. And the one translation says, the young man's countenance fell. He became gloomy. And went away sorrowing. Well, just a few minutes ago, he's excited. Can you see he went from joy to depression? What happened? Why wouldn't he obey God? Why didn't he obey God? Why didn't he find out what kind of harvest was on the other side of this? Fear. I said fear. Fear. In order to have God's full measure of increase in your life, you got to overcome fear. I said you got to overcome fear. Phyllis and I have seen this too many times, that God has brought people to a place where He's preparing to do something good for them. And they're supposed to take a step. And they choke on it. And they won't do it. Why did the Israelites, that first generation, not enjoy their houses, their vineyards, and all of that? Why? Remember, they saw the giants? They saw the walled cities? Right? And they were scared out of their minds. And they said, we're all going to die out here. And they would not. God told them, I'm paraphrasing now, strap on your gear and go take it. Huh? Go take it. See, so many people think it's just going to fall on you. Huh? While you lay on the couch and sip iced tea and sing Kumbaya. If you just do that long enough, it'll just come fall on you. There's reasons why a lot of people just keep waiting and getting older and older and older, and the things don't come to pass that they dreamed about and that they were convinced was God. Because there's more to increase than giving. Hmm? And there's more to prospering than money. Looking back over our life, I don't claim that we've done it all perfectly. You know we hadn't. But the Lord's blessed us. And every juncture where we saw miracles happen, including financially and materially, you got to a place where you're going to have to take a step. Huh? You're going to have to turn loose of your security blanket. Huh? And if God don't come through, you're in trouble. Hmm? And the enemy knows this, and so he assigns his spirits to harass you and try to paint all of these terrible failure scenarios. What if? And what if this doesn't? And what if you can't? And what if they don't? And what if they won't? All these failure scenarios and humiliating scenarios, and the list goes on. And maybe you got excited about what God was doing, but after a few weeks of that, bombardment night and day, you're thinking, ooh, I don't know, man. I mean, this is, yeesh, we could really mess up here. What do you mean? It does sound risky. Going fighting giants. Right? Oh, yeah. Reckon it would feel risky? Huh? These guys are 10 foot tall. They got all the armor and spears and iron chariots in the world. And a few months ago, you were a slave in the field. You ain't got no weaponry unless you borrowed some or found some. And you ain't got no training. But you got God.
Yes.
And he said,
yes.
He said,
yes,
go. Do it. But they wouldn't obey him. In fact, they rebelled against him. And this is what many have not seen. With fear, there's an attachment to rebellion. Fear is not the innocent thing that a lot have thought. Why? Have you ever seen somebody get scared? And get so scared that they go, no, no, I'm not. You can't make me do it. So that's rebellion. Huh? Motivated by fear. Terror. And so they rose up, the hundreds of thousands of them rose up against Joshua, against Caleb. They were ready to stone and kill them because they kept telling them, now quit your crying, let's go. God's with us. We can do this thing, let's go. And they said, we can't. We'll all die. And they wouldn't obey God. And they forfeited their houses and their land and the life God had planned for. Now, thank God, the next generation, under Joshua, when all their parents were dead and gone, They had had enough of that wandering around out in the desert. And they're like, we're going to obey God. Yeah. Huh? And they did. And they experienced what God had. I don't talk about it. You're not supposed to talk about it. But virtually every project that we have done of any size, I had to overcome fear. The enemy did his best to talk me out of it. And I had to pray through. I had to pray through. And I had to care more about what God thinks than what anybody else thinks. And if I did miss it, and I fall, and I have a failure, well, that's my mistake. But I'd rather fall flat on my face trying to believe God and obey God than being too scared to leave the house, being a coward. To live a life of faith, to walk the walk of faith, requires courage. Oh, somebody say courage. Courage. What's courage? Courage is overcoming the fear. Hallelujah. In order to have courage, you got to have hope. Hope is confident expectation. And in order to have hope, you got to have faith. I said, didn't you say that backwards, Brother Keaton? No, I said it right. And in order to have faith, you got to make a decision. You got to make a choice. I trust God. He told me to do this. Could that rich young ruler have made a different choice? Could he have said, could he have looked at the Lord in the eyes? Heard what the Lord is saying to him? And trusted him. Could he? And said, well, Lord, if that's what you say I need to do right now, I trust you. Here we go. Huh? Would he have had to overcome his fear? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Would it have paid off for him? Beyond his wildest dreams. In every way. And things far more valuable than money would ever be. But his fear caused him to choke. And his heart failed him. With the heart you believe. And his heart failed him because of fear. And we've seen that. We've seen that where people got excited about hearing from God and doing something. And you could tell God was in it. You could say, just like that young man got excited and ran up to Jesus. And the Lord had everything in place for him. Got them right up to it. But they're going to have to leave home. They're going to have to leave mama's cooking. And they're not sure exactly how it's going to work or how it can work or where will the money come from and how will that? And there's a thousand questions. And see, that's where the enemy comes and jumps in and goes, well, now you're going to get there and next thing you're going to be on the street. You're going to have to crawl back home and beg for forgiveness and all this kind of stuff and help and mercy. And if you listen to too much of that, you'll go, giants in the land. They're too big. We can't do it. And that's when you don't get your house. And you don't get your car. And you don't get your money. And you don't get the things that God had planned for you. But when you do, if you will, hallelujah, if you will be willing and obedient, not all going to happen just overnight, but over a period of time, next thing you know, you're wearing the best, eating the best, living in the best, driving the best. I don't care about all that. Try it out.
Yeah.
Try it out. Nobody said you had to keep everything. The more blessed you are, the more you can do for the kingdom and other folks and people in need. And, huh? You know, this, talking about myself a little bit, and which we rarely do, but it fits this situation. This, like I said, on the projects. I've had to overcome fear. I know by the time you see me at the meeting, I'm prayed through. And I, you know, you got to, if you're going to do it, do it. But just like this Step Up project, a lot of people would not have done what we did for 2 months. They would not have done that. You know, there were several days I really wanted to go home. Really wanted to go home. And, you know, part of it is, you know, I've been in the ministry now 40 years and I'm not 20 years old. And I don't have to do that. Unless. Right? The Lord directs you to do it. Then as far as I'm concerned, I have to do it. Right? But there are many people, if it's the least bit inconvenient, especially if it stresses you and pushes you, and if fear comes, they won't do it. They're not willing to do the things that folks like us have done. And it's easy to throw rocks and judge it's not God's will for me to have it. It was God's will for them to have those houses and those vineyards. Can you see this? It was God's will. But he couldn't convince them to obey him. They froze in fear. And the only thing he could have done was force them. Make them. He's not going to do that. That's like the enemy trying to make you do something. He's not going to do that. He gave them every support he could. He kept telling them how wonderful it is, and it's right over there. Right? And I'll be with you. And they had just seen 10 major signs and wonders in Egypt. Is that right? They know what God can do. Not like they never seen anything. I mean, the last one, the Red Sea split. Is that right? And they went over on dry ground. Shouldn't you be able to think, well, you know, if he can do that, he could probably get us in the promised land, right? I bet he's got a way. I think he could do something. But instead of that, and I'm not mocking them at all, because these things are spiritual. The evil spirits ganged up on them, and they felt the oppression of the terror, not realizing this is what you've got to overcome to walk by faith. This is what you've got to overcome to experience the fullness of the increase and his plan that he has for you. Is it all easy? No. Is it worth it? Yeah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. That's when on the other side of this, you know, when we saw this Step Up project getting done, when we, the Lord dealt with us, you don't have to just try to do a trade, you can pay for it. And then we saw we were millions short of being able to close, but in a month and a half, it all came in enough to close. Every week for a month and a half, we had over $500,000 come in above all our other stuff to make that every week for a month and a half. But what if you hadn't obeyed God to do the project to start with? What if you said, well, that's too much in this economy? Huh? What if you had said, well, that's not a good time for this, and that's... Now, it's not just about jumping out and trying to do something. You got to hear from the Lord, right? Just saying, I'm going to believe for this, that's presumption. And that's not going to work. Brother Oral Roberts told Brother Copeland something when he was driving his car years ago. And it's such outstanding instruction. And, of course, he's told him this after these decades and decades of him believing God for things. You reckon Brother Oral had to overcome some fear?
Yes, sir.
Building a university? Mm. Building a hospital? Mm. All the things that God used him to do that we'd never heard of a preacher doing before. And Brother Copeland was driving his car, and Brother Oral spoke up. He'd been quiet, and all at once he spoke up. He said, Kenneth, people will always tell you you can't do it. I bet he'd heard that plenty of times. He said, but do these three things. Number one, find out the will of God. I'm going to stop on that one a moment. Don't run past that one. Don't assume that. This is where the praying or fasting comes in. Come on, y'all listening? This is where you got to get this right. Find out the will of God for you, for that situation. Find it out. And when you find it out, it'll excite you. It'll stir you. It'll be bigger than you can make happen by yourself. Huh? And in the initial stage, you'll just be excited. And then the enemy will come and try to tell you you can't do it. And that's why he went on to number. He said, number one, find out the will of God. Number two, confer no longer with flesh and blood. What does that mean? Once you find out the will of God, don't ask anybody else what they think about it or what they think you ought to do, or confer no longer. Once you've heard from the Lord, once you've got the will of God, confer no longer with flesh and blood. Then number three, he said, get your job done at all costs. No matter what it costs, get it done. Hallelujah. How many think that is some outstanding Holy Spirit counsel there? Find out the will of God. Confer no longer with flesh and blood. Get your job done at all costs. Hallelujah. And how many understand on the other side of that, what are you going to experience? Are you going to experience some increase?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
On the other side of obeying God, overcoming fear, facing the giants.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
What will you experience? The land that flows with milk and honey. Hallelujah. The hot cities you didn't build. Houses you didn't build. Full of all good things. Now people want to shout about that part. But that comes after you strapped on your helmet of salvation. And your shield of faith. Is that right? And got the sword of the Spirit. It comes after you overcame fear and you obeyed God.
Thank you.
Stand on your feet, everybody. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Lift your hands and give thanks to the Lord your God, the faithful God. Oh, the good God, the faithful God. Lift your hands. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.